Well, Mark, it's good to have you with us this morning. It's a treat because we only get to see you every 4 years, but it's special to have you with us. So this morning I'd like to invite you to come up and share with us from the Word of God. Thanks.
Well, we really are happy to be here and see so many of you. There's people we've known from years past, and we can see each other again, and new people too, and start new relationships as well. That's one of the good things about our time in Wisconsin, that we get to get together with so many of you in Bible studies and men's breakfasts and women's times and groups at night. It's been really enjoyable. Well, when we're there in Peru, we're not there totally by ourselves because we have colleagues. We have colleagues who are working in other areas of the country. We have administrators who are super encouraging us. And once a year, we get together for our big annual retreat. And in the retreat time, there's a special speaker comes from the States. Sometimes we have special music, but we just encourage each other and talk about what's going on and hang out together, and we have a good time. This last couple of times, but especially this last year, we were at our retreat, and one of our friends who used to be our administrator came down and visited us. His name's Ron Ryan. Now, Ron always is encouraging to us, and he challenges us as well because he likes to memorize Scripture. He has a goal of memorizing chunks of Scripture and then saying them to one person, at least one person a day. So when he was up there, he quoted Scripture to us, and it was just so powerful. I thought, you know, I want to do that too. I want to learn some Scripture and get it, be able to bring it into my life and heart and through memorization as well. So this morning what we're going to do is take a look at Colossians chapter 3, and I'll start off by just quoting it to you. Now, don't necessarily follow along because I'll feel like it's a little bit of a quiz maybe and you're checking up on me. But after I'll quote it to you, and then we'll take a look at it together. So this is from Colossians 3, and it starts out like this. Since you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, and obscene talk from your mouth. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So when we're translating, we want to do more than just translate the Scriptures. We want to see people's lives changed, become new creations. When I became a Christian, one of the first verses I learned was from 2 Corinthians 5:17, which says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. So what a privilege we've had there, translating the scriptures for people who have not had a word of scriptures in their own language, in their heart language before, and seeing people come to Christ, become new creations, and seeing Christ invade their lives. So we want to look at that this morning from Colossians chapter 3. And you can open your Bibles and follow along as we look at briefly just kind of some of the highlights of what this passage is talking about living a new life in Christ, because this new life is for all of us. It's in four parts, and the first part is to live the new life that God gives us. One, we change our mindset. The second point is that we put to death what's earthly in us. Then the third point is that we put on the new self, and then fourthly and lastly, we let Christ invade our lives. So the first part, to live the new life God gives us, we change our mindset. Now it starts off that saying, if then you have been raised with Christ. This is an echo going from chapter 2 where it talks about we've been raised with Christ. And actually that's building on everything that Colossians has been saying and the book of Colossians has been saying up till that point. And we could summarize it and just look at the highlights of some of the parts in Colossians and say, well, it would also include if we have been transferred to the kingdom of God's beloved Son, which is true. If in everything Christ is preeminent. If we have been reconciled to God by Jesus' death. If Christ is in us, the hope of glory. If in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And then in 2:13, it talks about we who are dead in our trespasses, God made alive together with him, forgiving all of our trespasses. If that's true, if we've been made alive together with him, if we've been raised with Christ, it says, therefore, seek the things that are above. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. We were talking last night in someone's home where we were visiting around the table, talking about how often and how easy it is to get just frazzled in this life. We get all caught up in whatever we're doing and trying to get over here and trying to get this done and trying to get that done. We get so wrapped up in our anxieties and concerns. But here Paul is saying, the scriptures are saying, let's put that aside. Let's set our minds on things that are above. Let's set our minds on not things on this earth. Think about Christ. Think about his exaltation. Think about his rule in our lives. Think about his rule over the world. Think about our life with God. In Philippians 4:8, it talks even more specifically about that. It says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, if anything is praiseworthy, if anything excellent, anything worthy of praise, think about these things. So instead of thinking about being critical or how this person offended me or how that person, it says, let's think about what's worthy of praise. Let's think about positive things. That's putting our minds on what's above. Because it says, because you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. A person who's dead doesn't usually spend time thinking about who offended him or how things aren't going his way or about being entertained or about trying to make a good impression on others or trying to get ahead of someone else. So he says, because you have died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears at the second coming, when he comes and is fully manifested on this earth, then you also will appear with him in glory. This hidden life that we have now with Christ in him, it will be manifested then when he appears. But there's a little phrase in there. It says, when Christ, who is your life, appears. Now think about that for a minute. What's he talking about? What is our life? It says Jesus is our life. It's not really our lives. This isn't my, I'm here, but the text is saying here that it's not my life. It's not your life. It's Jesus' life. It's Christ's life. Now, it's always easy to trust God for somebody else's life. We have one of our co-translators now, Timoteo. He wrote an email to me just a few days ago, very concerned that he's losing eyesight in one of his eyes. Something is pressing against his optic nerve. And I tried to write him an encouraging letter back, just trusting God. Then later it occurred to me, you know, although I'm concerned for it as well, it's easy for me to trust God with Timoteo's life. But what if it was my eye and my life? And then I think, but wait a minute, what's this text saying? This text is saying, but it isn't your life. It's Christ's life. All these anxieties and frazzlements that we have in our day-to-day life, it's really Jesus's. Give it to him. Set our minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. That's one of the keys to living the new life that God's given us. Now, I don't know about you, but I forget to do that. Yeah, I can say yeah, yeah, yeah when I hear it on Sunday morning. But then during the week, standing in line at the grocery store or whatever it is we happen to be doing, driving someone who's slow or whatever it is, and you forget about that stuff and you go, whatever, you get tense about it. So this is one of the things, when you memorize Scripture, it helps bathe your mind, bathe your heart, help transform and renew your life with the Word of God to remember that set our minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. So that was the first point. Living the new life with God that God gives us, we set our minds on things that are above. We transform our minds. The second point is that we put to death what is earthly in us. It starts off saying, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Now, whenever I was always told from the beginning as a new Christian, we became Christians in college, and we were involved in campus ministries, and they would always stress, whenever you see a therefore in the text, make sure you understand what it's there for. Why does it say put to death therefore? Well, what did it just get done saying? In the verse just above, it said, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So if it's Jesus' life and not mine, if he's my life, therefore, let's put to death what is earthly in us. So it's a transforming our lives, but it's also a putting to death. And then it talks about sexual immorality, impassion, purity, evil desires, and covetousness. So first of all, it talks about a list of sexual sins, the sexual immorality. And then later on, it goes into a list of sins of speech and anger. Now, in some churches, they might be very concerned about the sins of sexual impurity or that kind of thing, and they overlook the sins of anger and speech and malice and things like that that are in the congregation, but real strict on that side. In other churches, they're so anxious not to offend that they would be real strict on this sins of speech and anger, but overlook other sins, sins of sexual immorality and passion and those kinds of things. But God here is calling us to be wary of both. Let's put both to death. When it talks about these sins of sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, the text is talking about any kind of sexual activity outside of marriage. That includes premarital involvement with a member of the opposite sex. It even includes pornography. That's one of the things when we come back to the States, each time we find more and more broken families. We find more and more people living together outside of marriage. We find more and more problems with pornography. And usually it seems like the response of most people is, well, what's the big deal? So what? You know, that's how God made us. That's how we are. It's no big deal. But the text is saying here, according to God's word, it's a huge deal. That is the kind of thing that destroys your life. If you don't put it to death, it's going to put you to death. And so put it, be active, put this stuff to death. And then at the end of that list, it talks about covetousness, which is idolatry. In this context, it's talking about covetousness for another person. Like, don't covet your neighbor's wife, for example. Other translations translate that as greed, which is also a good translation because the Greek word can be translated either covetousness or greed. But the thing is, when we have this unchecked hunger for physical pleasure at all costs, then we're putting that ahead of God, who's the source of our life. And when we do that, the text says that's where we're guilty of idolatry. We're putting something ahead of God in our life. And that's why it says, which is idolatry. So he says, put this stuff to death. when we're living out in the village and when we're in Peru, we've had invasions of fleas, of mice, of... I was sitting at the foot of the steps once tying my shoe. A rat came up and started nibbling the tip of my shoe. Everything, the furniture all moved aside. We grabbed the broom and we were chasing that rat. The kids were helping. That poor rat didn't have a chance. We had problems with cockroaches in the kitchen. We had hundreds, if not thousands, of cockroaches when we first moved into a place. And I picture Patty there with her shoe or her sandal ready, whack, 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 ha ha, and getting these cockroaches. She'd turn off the light at night, wait for the cockroaches to come out, turn on the light and jump on them. Get those. When there's vermin in the house who might threaten your health, threaten your water, threaten your food, whatever, you don't play around with it. Be like Patty. Be merciless with those things. God says, put this stuff to death. These are things that don't belong in our life. Let's be merciless. On account of these, the text goes on to say, on account of these, the wrath of God is coming. Now, Quechua people, where we are, and probably people in the States too, they say, well, why, you know, what's the difference? What are you talking about when you're talking about the gospel or accepting Christ? Because I'm created by God, you're created by God. I'm God's child, you're God's child. If I have a problem with anger or lying or drunkenness or stealing or whatever, hey, that's how God made me. What's the big deal? God made me that way. But it says here that God holds us accountable for our action. We're responsible before God, that there's judgment that will be coming. And here it says, on account of these things, the wrath of God is coming. And we found that in the Quechua context, down there in South America, in the Andes Mountains, people have got to understand that before there's good news, you have to understand the bad news. There's really bad news for people who reject their Creator. Say, I don't want to have anything to do with what God says in my life. I want to live life according to how I think life should be lived. Or I'm not responsible for how I live. Somebody else is. The text says there's bad news. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. But right after the bad news comes the good news. And that's the gospel. And that's where it talks about forgiveness. That's where it talks about eternal life. How God, all of God's wrath gets poured out on His Son. And He takes it instead of us. And that's the good news. Boy, I didn't used to know. I don't know about some of you. I didn't used to know that. And it wasn't until somebody shared the gospel with me when I was 18 years old in a college dorm. And I first learned that. Opened up the scriptures to me and said, what? How come I never knew that before? And that's what we're doing in Peru, is sharing the gospel, getting people to the Word of God, and understanding that because of the wrath of God, but then the grace and the mercy and the love and the forgiveness of God. So he says, put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you've put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self. Lying can take lots of forms. It can be outright lie. It can be a white lie. It can be pretending to be somebody you're not. It can be putting up a front. Being extra spiritual, maybe around church people, and then in the house, back at home, with your family, with your wife, with your kids, with your husband. All that's gone. Impatience, anger, unkindness. That's a form of lying too, putting up a front. God says, let's put all that away. Why? Because you've put off the old self. That was part of the old self. Take that off, you've put that away, and now you put on the new self. Now this new self that he's talking about, he says, that is being renewed. It's being renewed in knowledge according to after the image of its Creator. I looked at the website that this church has just a few days ago. And I think you guys did an excellent job. And some of you are in a video there that it talks about. We're not perfect, but God's working here, and we're all welcome to come and become renewed and changed by God. That's what this text is saying. You put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge. It's being renewed. So that's saying to me, Mark, I have a long way to go. I need this renewal. I don't know if you know, but you have a long way to go. You guys over here, you have a long way to go. But God is renewing you. God is changing you. He's giving you this new life. And you're being renewed in knowledge after the image of your Creator, our Lover, our Redeemer. He's busy at work in us. Let's let Him work. Let's put on the new self. Get rid of the old self. Remember Patty and the cockroaches. Put to death that stuff, the old stuff. And then it says, here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. The Quechua folks can feel really discouraged sometimes, feel really inferior. Everything, the world around them is the world of Spanish. And they turn on their radios, they hear Spanish. It's given the news and talking about different countries and the stock market and things. And what's that? They don't know what that's talking about. It's all in Spanish. They haven't had much opportunity for education. They don't have a lot of income. They don't have a lot of wealth in this world. Their race is different from the Spanish. Their accomplishments, they feel like, man, I don't know, this world. But what God is saying here, you know, that stuff doesn't matter. And conversely, then it doesn't matter our failures, our frustrations, our weakness, our lack of education, our lack of opportunity. What matters in our life, have you accepted Christ or haven't you accepted Christ? Are you living for Him? Are you giving your life as an offering to Him every day or not? Here there's not the educated, the uneducated, the ones with opportunity, the ones without life. There's the people with a lot of riches in this world. And no, what is important is Christ. He's the one who's all in all. That's the message Quechua people say, yeah. And when they're down there, this is Sunday morning. There are churches down there now with a dirt floor and dirt walls. All the ladies are on this side. All the men are on this side. All their hats are hanging on pegs on the wall. They don't have nice benches like this. Sometimes they're crouched on the floor. They just have a low little plank of wood they're sitting on. But there are brothers and sisters in Christ. When they're worshiping and they're praying with all their hearts. They've seen that they're received this new life, and they're being renewed just as much as we're being renewed here. I feel like we have a front row seat there and seeing how God is busy and redeeming and changing lives. You guys have front row seats too, and seeing God at work in your lives, seeing God at work in your neighbors, in your the person sitting next to you, and as you're involved in Bible studies and growth and worship and study of God's Word here as well. So whether we're in Peru, sitting on a slab of wood in an unheated dirt made out of dirt church, or we're here with carpeting and beautiful lights and heat and a beautiful view and all this kind of thing, that isn't what matters. It's Christ who's all and in all. So we change our mindset. We put to death what's earthly. We put on the new self, the third point. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. And then it goes on. It says again, put on then. What's the then talking about? It just got done saying, since Christ is all, since Christ is in all, therefore, since it's Jesus doing it, since He's the one, since it's His life that He gives us, it's pointing to all those things, therefore, put on then compassionate hearts, kindness. It talks about how we're our membership as God's chosen ones, the holy is being set apart for His glory, beloved, it's His love, it's His grace, it's not anything that has to do with us and our worthiness and our spirituality. It doesn't have to do with any of those things that we're membership of God's family. Those same titles, the chosen one, the holy one, the beloved one, those are titles given to Israel in the Old Testament and then supremely to Jesus Christ in the New Testament. Talks about in Jesus and about Jesus in 1 Peter 2:4. You come to Him, the living one, the living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. The chosen one. Jesus is the chosen one. In John 6:69, it talks about you are the Holy One of God. Jesus is the chosen one. Jesus is the Holy One. And then in at the baptism in Matthew 3:17, says that he's the one, this is my beloved son, the chosen one, the holy one, and the beloved one. And now here it says, and we're also the chosen ones, the holy one. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. So if we're like that, if God loves us that much, let's put on the characteristics, the attributes that he has for us. Now this word, put on is the word in Greek that means to put on clothes. I don't see anybody who forgets to put on their clothes in the morning before they go out into public, out in the street. Everybody I see has something on. In the same way it says, just as you don't forget to put on your clothes in the morning, put on then compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience. So just like I put on my pants in the morning, I don't go walking out without pants. Put on, it puts the first thing in the list, says compassionate hearts, being compassionate. Are you compassionate? Are we compassionate with our kids, with our wife, with your husband, with our coworkers, with our fellow believers, being compassionate? The second item in the list is kindness. Now, with strangers, we might find it easier to be kind with someone we see and be polite and just be courteous. How are you with your spouse? Do you have that same level of kindness where you prefer her over the other, prefer him, and just being kind and courteous in the home and with your kids? So easily we find that some of that stuff just goes away. We lose our patience. We sometimes lose our temper. And we would things that we would never say to a guest in our home, we end up saying to our wives, end up saying to your husband, end up saying to our kids. But if they're in the guest at home, no way would we talk that way. Being compassionate, put on compassionate hearts. Just like you put on your shirt in the morning, put on kindness. Don't forget to put on your shirt. Don't forget to put on your kindness. Don't forget to put on, and then it goes on through the list. Compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. And then it talks about bearing with one another. That's, to me, that's fascinating, that it's a slice of realism put in here. Sometimes there are people that are just annoying. And that's just the way it is. But he says, but bear with each other and forgive each other, because God has called us to a new life. Bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgive each other. And we've got to do it. We have to. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Forgiveness means you don't dwell on the offense anymore. Sometimes we're offended. Just like for Quechua people down there, if they're offended, they live in the same community all the time. They can carry a grudge for years to the day they die of what somebody did when they were 8 years old, their neighbor. Or it can go from generation to generation, some of these things. God says to them, and God says to us, we've got to put that aside. When you forgive somebody, it means that you and give it to God. Put that into his hands. First Peter talks about casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. So that means we don't dwell it on anymore. We wish the other person well, and we leave it in God's hands for him to judge, for him to take care of, for him to fix it up the way he wants to do, which he will. But that's up to him. It's not up to us. And that's what forgiveness means. And above all these, put on love. We have to fly through this message. You guys, I don't know how you're doing, but I'm up here flying. Each one of these things can be a whole message. You know, you can give a whole message easily on forgiveness and what that means. Whole message on love and all these things. But we're flying because he's talking about, we're just kind of getting a bird's eye view of what this new life that God calls us to, that God gives us. And the fourth point is now that not only do we change our mindset. Maybe you should be helping me out here. The first point, okay, I gave that to you. That's free. We change our mindset. The second point, what was that? We put to death. Remember Patty and the cockroaches? After a while, by the way, she wasn't bothering to use her shoe anymore. She's a missionary. Us missionaries, we do things. She's just getting her hand out there. Whack, 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 whack. Put to death what's earthly in us. Be merciless. What was the third point? put on the new self, just like we put on clothes. I almost called that third point, put on our clothes. But that's putting on the new self. The fourth point then is to let Christ invade our lives. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body. Sometimes when we think of peace, we think of, you know, I'm peace and tranquil, the world is away out there, and I'm by myself and peaceful, finally, peace and quiet. But here the peace that it's talking about is peace with each other, peace in the body, corporate peace, peace right here amongst you all, amongst all of us, to which indeed you are called, it says, in one body. So this peace means peace with each other. So we should pursue peace with each other. Do what it takes, forgiveness, putting up, bearing with one another, and forgiving each other. And then be thankful. In this section here, that word, those words to be thankful appear three times. This is the first one, just comes out and says, and be thankful. So another way that this new life manifests itself in us. Instead of being critical, instead of being complaining, how come this is that way, how come this is that? There are so many things to complain about. You will never finish. If you want to complain about everything, you will never finish. To the day you die, you can be 100% critical and still have plenty of things to be critical about that you never got around to be critical about. God says, that's not the life I call you to. I call you to a life of thankfulness. Whether you're a Quechua believer with all those colorful hats in the Andes Mountains, or whether you're up here in Wisconsin, God calls you to a life that's changed. It's new. It's different. It's an attitude of thankfulness. It's an attitude of peace. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. How many people around the world don't yet, even today, this modern day and age, don't have a single verse of Scripture in their language? There's our best guess now is there are like 2,040 languages that have not a word of Scripture yet in them. About 350 million people. How are they supposed to let the word of Christ dwell in them richly? How are you supposed to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly? We've got, how many Bibles do you have in your house? I don't know. Sometimes when we're with children's church, we have them count. Well, there's mom's Bible, there's dad's Bible. Well, dad has three. And we have those over here, and they count how many Bibles in their house. It's not talking about let lots of copies of the Bible dwell in your house richly. It's talking about letting them dwell in our hearts. So that means listening to Scripture, studying Scripture, reading Scripture, memorizing Scripture, meditating on Scripture. Just like if I want to get a good hold of Scripture, I use all five fingers. Let's get reading, studying, memorizing, meditating, and listening to Scripture. Grab it with all five fingers. Singing songs and hymns and spiritual songs. I'm not going to sing for you right now, but we sing together. And Quechua people love to sing too, and their own music and their own melody, and they worship, and sometimes it gets pretty exuberant. But it's because it's with all their hearts. Are you worshiping God with all your hearts? This new life, if you're living the new life, you may not be able to have a great voice, but at least you have melody and music in your heart. It's going in your head. Some of you, like my mom, she goes through the house singing all day long. Some of you are like that, and you'll be just singing. God changes your heart, so you put some melody in your heart. In everything you do, and this is the last part now, whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Well, what's it mean to do something in the name of the Lord Jesus? That's talking about being his representative. Jesus isn't here now. I don't see him walking around. I can't go sit at his feet and listen, but I have his word here to allow it to dwell richly in my heart. And we are his representative now. We have representatives of his down here. You guys are now Jesus' representatives. We're his representatives, whether we're here with you now or whether we're with Quechua speakers in Peru. Now we're his ambassadors. We're to do in his name everything you do, whether in word or whether in deed. Is this the way Jesus would talk? Is this the way Jesus would act? Is this the kind of stuff Jesus would do? Is this the kind of stuff Jesus would look at? do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus as his representative. So whether we're in Wisconsin pastoring a church or being a youth pastor or the music leader, or whether we're going into work every day, being a dad, being a mom, being a student, being a grandma, being a grandpa, retired, whatever we're doing, whatever we do in word or deed, let's do it with the new lives God's given us as Jesus' representatives here on earth. So, first of all, we change our mindset. Secondly, we put stuff to death. Think on things that are above. Put to death what is earthly in us. Thirdly, this side now, what do we do thirdly? We put on the new self, which is being renewed. We allow God to renew us. And finally, what do we let? What? We let Christ invade our lives. His peace, his word, his hymns and songs and spiritual songs. And we do everything in his name as his representative. May God bless to all of us, to you and to me, his word. Let it dwell in our hearts. Let's take a hold of the new life that God gives us day after day and be transformed for his glory. Amen.